Weekend huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Good morning, Nashville. Happy game day. Happy Saturday to you all. Hope last night and this week, as up and down as it may have been, hope you found some solace later on this week as we continue to have struggles throughout our country. But let's not talk about that today. Let's talk about football. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier here with you. Parker Kelly will be along with us shortly. We had some moving parts here this morning. Some, I don't want to say technical difficulties. We'll say physical difficulties. But, Frazier.
Building difficulties.
Building difficulties.
There you go.
We need to have some accountability around here. Nick Frazier, good morning.
Good morning, Connor.
I see you are decked out in the maroon today.
I'm very happy because they take on Alcorn State. It is a cupcake game, and they also take on Northern Illinois next week. And that was a team last year that beat Notre Dame, and hopefully Mississippi State doesn't have a hiccup next week. I'd like them to be undefeated going into Tennessee. Hosting Tennessee, excuse me. That would be fantastic.
I'm in favor of you being ranked right now. If Arizona State's unranked, shouldn't you be ranked, the team that beat them? That's just me. My ancestors and part of my family would probably kill me for supporting the Mississippi State Bulldogs right now because I am technically part Ole Miss Rebel. I have Rebel blood in me. I bleed blue. I'm a Wildcat, but I have Rebel blood in me, so I'm kind of impartial. I don't really care. So,
we accept you if you decide to. We accept you to the dark side.
Go State. Hail State. We got a great show for you today. Our poll question is active on Twitter right now. You can go vote on that. We will get to that in the 10 o'clock hour. Again, on Twitter, our poll question: what is the best traditional helmet in college football? You have four options: Notre Dame, Michigan, Alabama, or other. But if you do other, I expect a text from you within the next hour explaining what your favorite helmet traditionally is and why. Some of you have voted on that and have not provided an explanation. So I would expect that. Please and thank you. Not actually. I'm not going to get mad if you don't. But go vote on our poll. We will get to that in the 10 o'clock segment. We're going to talk some Titans today. We're going to talk some college football today as we've got a big slate of college football today. Two local teams are doing battle and big, big games for the landscape of college football, plus some other games around the nation and in the SEC that are worth talking about. But Frazier, I want to start with this. And of course, we'll play Where Are They Now, which I don't know if you know this. Since you were the winner last year, Frazier, you are in charge of hosting.
Wow. Okay, I'm ready.
Oh, I know you have some in your back pocket.
I do.
Ready to go.
I was ready for it. I'm more mad about yesterday what I told you about Where Are They Now. Somebody in the market decided to say, you know what? Let's take this title and use it for ourselves.
Can we out who that is?
Sure, go ahead.
The Tennessee Titans will be receiving a cease and desist from this program.
Like, why? Well, you could have just said, hey, back in the day, or something else. You didn't have to say, where are they now? I mean, I get it. You guys want to use our lingo. It's understandable, but come on now.
Well, I'm learning lingo to the older generation. Last night on the Game Blitz, we had Coach Jay Pierce of DCA on, and I used the term masterclass, and he's like, I never heard that one before, and he kept using it, and I was like, yeah, Coach, go ask your players what that means. I guarantee you they'll be able to tell you. It's a younger term. He's like, I really like that term. Thank you for opening my eyes to that. And I was like, you're welcome, Coach. Congrats on the win. So that was a lot of fun last night, Game Blitz. Lots of high school scores. I don't know if you saw this. Ensworth upset Macaulay right here at home, even though Max Preps said they were on the road.
I know, I heard that. I was listening to you guys on the way home from Murfreesboro. You sounded great.
Thank you.
You guys do a really good job with that, seriously.
Thank you. We only messed up one person's name, and that was on accident. We're not going to get into that. I want to start the show off today by acknowledging something that comes up on our text line pretty regularly, and it's such a hypothetical, but it seems like we have to do this now, and that's the 102.5 The Game Combine. We have a development in that. Adam Vingan went out to the Nashville Sounds game and displayed his athletic prowess. If you haven't seen the video, Willie tweeted it out. It's reposted on our Twitter. Willie kind of went into depth with it yesterday with D-Mace. But if you aren't familiar, for context, they do these promotional games during the Sounds games in the middle of the sixth inning. So poor Adam goes out there I can't remember exactly what the game is called, but it's like fielding fly balls with t-shirts. The pop-up something. Regardless, they flung t-shirts in the air, three of them. Adam's job was to catch all three. Poor Adam went 0-3. So I think we need to have a conversation of who wins the 102.5 the game combine. I think we've decided Adam will not be playing wide receiver on the 53-man roster.
No, maybe defensive back because he could just swat a few down if he wants to. But I think, Adam, what he messed up as, if I'm analyzing this properly, he needed a baseball cap. He needed to use the bill of the baseball cap to differentiate where the lighting
for.
Is. Yeah, that's what it's for. And, you know, maybe he misjudged a few. So
he should have signaled for fair catch and just, if it bounces, then, you know, you got to recover it. But, you know, it's not baseball. Change your sport up. So, Adam, I, if he's listening to this, and I'm sure he is at some point, I'm very sorry we're talking about this, but you brought this on yourself. Hit the gym. You got to get in the gym. Which led me to go down a rabbit hole last night of who would win our combine. My money is on Willie Donick. Willie, I think, is a sneaky good athlete, and I think he would dominate. D-Mace, I think we can... D-Mace is not allowed to participate. A former NFL athlete is not allowed to participate. I want to see the race, the 40-yard dash between Chase McCabe and Adam Vingan. I want to see how that ends up.
I think Robbie Stanley's a sneaky pick.
Oh, yeah. Robbie Stanley would kill us in the long jump, I think.
I've heard he's a pretty good golfer. And so yeah. I think if you include golf in this combine or just like the longest drive, maybe Robbie's got us.
I mean, Rex Rhodes, I think, could put on some feats of strength. Big Joe, too. I'm trying to think of who else. I mean, the young guys like me, you, Parker, and Jake Lyman, I think we could set our own records. But as far as the regular on-air hosts, my money's on Willie to dominate everything.
That's fair. I think Willie's height kind of helps out with a lot of this, if there's a lot of vertical stuff. But
Willie's a three-sport athlete. I mean, Willie has told me when he was playing high school football, he was a two-position athlete, played both sides of the ball, quarterback and kicker. Not the two sides of the ball you think of, but it is, in fact, two sides of the ball. So
it is. Is there a way we can just coin Willie Donick as the Bo Jackson of radio?
I mean, he is Deion Sanders, isn't he? Like, he's just that guy.
He is, actually. Let's put it that way.
He is that guy, pal. I mean, football, then played college basketball and baseball, and then, of course, played in the minor leagues for the Toronto Blue Jays organization. Willie Donick, the athletic specimen you are. I mean, he would dominate the combine. Let's be honest with ourselves. If we were to go out in the parking lot right now and say everyone get here, Willie would probably show up last, but he'd show up to win and leave.
Yeah, he's prepared. He shows up right at the last nick of time, and he's ready to go.
We got a great show for you today. We're going to talk some Titans, including up next, we're going to talk about what absolutely needs to change in Brian Callahan's game plan. Do the players in the Titans locker room trust him? And then we'll continue that conversation with how long until we can say Brian Callahan has lost the room. We're going to get into some college football later on in the show. Newt's Notes is back today as I take over the show. Hopefully we have all three people here by then. Depends on some other things. Our weekend poll again is up. What is the best traditional helmet in college football? You can vote Notre Dame, Michigan, Alabama, or etc. Going to talk about the big games today. Vanderbilt taking on South Carolina in Columbia. And, of course, where college game day is right now in Knoxville. Your Vols taking on the Bulldogs of Georgia, the Mean Machine in red and black. Other matchups, of course, around the nation, too, with Texas A&M and Notre Dame, Florida and LSU. And the one you all want to talk about, Kentucky and Eastern Michigan. We will break that all down coming up throughout the show, but coming up next, let's talk about Brian Callahan. What absolutely needs to change in his game plan, his play calling, and what needs to change for the players in the locker room to start trusting good old BC? That's up next here on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier here with you on 102.5 The Game.
Sunday, there was pretty tangible frustration from you as well.
Yeah.
How concerned are you about the here we go again aspect to this, or is this team different enough to where you don't see that happen?
Yeah, this team is very different from that. I understand where you're coming from. I know that feeling. But that's I didn't feel that at all from our football team in that game. I was frustrated at just the things that we could have done to win the game, in a game that I felt like we had a very good chance to win, to not come out of that playing better than we did in all three phases, I think, was what was disappointing. Disappointed in myself, obviously, on top of it. So I love the makeup of our football team. I really do. I think they have the right mentality. They understand that we always are going to have a chance. They play really hard. They play with great effort. Those things are going to help us along the way, and we're going to win more football games. But that feeling that can creep in sometimes, I don't feel it from our guys. I think we've got really good leadership. The leadership has grown quite a bit, I think, in a year's time. And the new faces we've added and the young players and their demeanor and makeup gives me a ton of confidence that that's not something that we have to worry about. And I really do. I mean, I know it's only 1 week and all that, but I really do like the makeup of our football team and where they stand. It's a night and day difference in totality from a year ago.
There you go. That was Brian Callahan talking about the makeup differences between this year's team and last year's team. Seems like he thinks this year's team is a lot different from last year's based on watching the Titans of 1 week of NFL football. I don't know if I agree with you there, Brian. 102.5 The Game has teamed up with Pella Windows and the National Humane Association for a puppy pet adoption today at Pella 256 East Main Street in Hendersonville from 10 to noon. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. Welcome back in Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And I kind of just said it, Frazier, but Brian Callahan seems a little bit in over his head based on that answer. This team is completely different from last year's team, and you're going to see stark differences on the on-field product. And to me, when I watched them last week play against the Denver Broncos, didn't look all that different to me. Sure, the position, I mean, you got different guys in different positions now. It's the play calling that's exactly the same. And I ask you this question. What needs to change in the game plan? What does Brian Callahan need to do to modify his play calling? Or is that even something he can modify? Because if he doesn't modify and change with the times, he's going to get canned pretty fast.
Yeah, I think the one primary thing Callahan needs to focus on is adjusting on the fly when it comes to play calling. I think, you know, a lot of these coaches in the NFL, they have a certain, you know, call sheet that they go through, you know, to prep for a game. And they should have like, oh, if I have plays 1, 2, 3, and 4 and 1, 2, and 3 work, but I need to flip it to 5 and 6 instead of 4 and 3, yeah, maybe I should do that. There needs to be some flexibility in the play calling, and I don't think Callahan has really done that. I think because of his job is so on the fringe of being canned, he's afraid to make a mistake. And I think when you stick to the ultimate, you know, play calling sheet, that's even going to hurt you worse when you don't adjust on the fly, because it doesn't show your intelligence as a coach. You're true, you know, intelligent as a coach.
Yeah, I think Brian Callahan gets stuck in his ways often. I think he is committed to the script of what he wants to do. And not that radio hosting and NFL coaching is the same thing. One is a lot harder than the other, that being coaching. I'm not going to say hosting is hard. But can Brian Callahan get on here and host a 3-hour show? I don't know. To compare the two, when you're preparing, or at least when I'm preparing for a show, I like to script out a grid. I like to script out what we are going to talk about in each segment. For instance, we're talking about Brian Callahan the next 2 segments as of right now. That is subject to change. If things are rolling and things are going good and the audience is connecting with you, then screw the grid. Go with it. Brian Callahan needs to do the same thing. If the pass plays are working or not working, then switch it up. Go with what works. Don't get stuck in your ways. And I think that's what killed him last week, especially in that second half drive where it was 3 straight passes trying to be, quote, aggressive. All you got to do is hand the ball off once, get a first down, and let the clock run down. Then you go into the half with the lead. Brian Callahan said he was trying to be aggressive and pass for 3 straight incompletions and ultimately gave up a touchdown to be down at the half instead of up. Brian Callahan gets stuck in his own ways. He's committed to what he thinks is right. And ultimately, it proves not to be right. And that's what killed them. That's what kills them. And I think you're going to see that tomorrow. Because I think he's too stuck in his ways and he's too in over his head. And I don't think he's it's all intentional. I don't think he's trying to play the holier than thou card and say, I'm a better football mind than any of you. I just think he gets nervous. And I think he gets in over his head and he over prepares. And over preparation is just as good as under preparation.
Yeah, there's one factor that it just kind of hit my brain. You know, you were at training camp. You understood and seen everything out there. My one question is to you, do you think the Tajay Spears injury affected this offense completely to the point to where it's almost made their offense one-dimensional in a roundabout way? Because Brian Callahan mentioned preseason that, oh, it's a two-back system. We're going to use Tajay and Tony Pollard at our best capabilities. Yeah. But when I think of that, I'm thinking, you don't have a true bell cow. You're just not trying to be as predictable in the passing game.
Well, they kind of tried to do it last week with Julius Chestnut, and anytime Julius Chestnut was in the game on the third down situation, I didn't feel good about it. Because I like Julius Chestnut. I think he's a solid player, but he's not a guy that is going to absolutely move the chains for you. I think you have a point there, Frazier, in that, granted, he's not the kind of player you were hoping he would be to this point in his career, but Tajay Spears is still a pivotal piece in this offense, and he's a good receiving back. That's kind of what you and I talked about yesterday with Chase, is that Tony Pollard needs to get involved in the receiving game too. Tony Pollard was a receiving back last year for the Titans, and it worked out well. He would, well, well for him, not well for the team. He was a receiving back in Dallas, and Dallas was a year-in and year-out playoff team with him on the roster. So I think you need to get your halfbacks involved in the pass game because you have two similar running backs that can do kind of the same things. Get them involved in the passing game, and it may work out for you.
And it just solidifies my point that I made way back in the spring, throughout the summer, and of last week and yesterday. The Titans don't have a bell cow running back. They've gone away from the run game that they've prided themselves on this whole entire time, and they're still saying, yeah, we're still a run-first team. Not really.
No.
Brian Callahan's a pass-first guy.
And I like the pass aggressiveness.
You like pass-first?
In this era of NFL football, yes, I like pass-first. The problem is you don't have the receivers to do that. You don't really know if you have the quarterback to do that. You think you know because you drafted a guy number one overall. That makes him your franchise guy, at least going forward. And I like the mentality of, okay, if he's a quarterback that we've spent all this, you know, this investment on and we spent a number one overall draft pick on, he should probably be throwing the ball, right? But you got to have the receivers to do that. And I think receivers were part of the problem last week when they couldn't catch a damn ball. Calvin Ridley could not catch a cold. Elik Iomanner, I mean, he made some catches, but I don't think he is an elite wide receiver. If you were to ask me his ceiling right now, I would say he's probably a solid number two or number three on this team. Same with Chim Dike, and Chim Dike is going to get more involved in the pass game this week, it seems like. But you don't have Ja'Marr Chase. You don't have Justin Jefferson. You don't have, Puka Nacua, if we want to throw the guy that's going to be against you next week. I'm okay with Cam Ward throwing the ball because that's how he's going to develop his confidence. He's not going to develop his game and his confidence by handing the ball off every play. But at the same time, you got to understand situational play calling. If it's, you know, you're in your own end with the lead about to go to the half, don't throw the ball three times in a row, which stops the clock every incompletion. And also, they get the ball back quickly and run it in for a touchdown, and they got all the momentum coming out of the half. That's what killed them. And I'm worried that Brian Callahan is going to keep doing the same old, and get fired because of it, because he's stuck in his own ways and too afraid to change.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that. There's nothing else to kind of base that off. I mean, to go off of that, because you're spot on. I think Brian Callahan's job is in jeopardy because of his getting stuck in his own ways. And I mentioned this to somebody recently about how Callahan spoke, I think it was this past Monday, and said, you know, he apologized for the elbow thing, the rule about that with Elik Iomanner.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, the people upstairs are telling me not to do that. It makes me wonder, like, who is that person upstairs he did not want to out? Because if you're not trying to out anybody, and I mean, don't be a snitch. I get all that. But
yeah, but at the same time, be accountable.
Yeah, when you don't out somebody on your staff, that just goes to show you that you're not, like you said, you're not being accountable. And when you're not being accountable, how can someone trust you as a head coach?
Yeah, it's like being a boss, right? If the boss is not accountable and it's always someone else's fault, then what kind of a boss are you? Look at, let's compare an NFL head coach to a college head coach. Brian Kelly. When Brian Kelly loses a game, whose fault is it?
The team's fault.
Not Brian Kelly's.
No.
Last week, they only scored 23 points against Louisiana Tech. And Brian Kelly goes on and just blasts his assistant coaches. They didn't execute the game plan the way we drew it up and blah, blah, blah. That's not a good coach. Maybe it's a good, you know, game plan coach, but that's not the kind of coach that I would want to play for. I'm not saying Brian Callahan is anywhere near the level of jerk I think Brian Kelly is.
No.
I think Brian Callahan's a really nice guy. From talking to him and being around in press conferences with him, he seems like a very nice guy. That's the thing. I think he's too nice, and I think he's too timid, and I don't think he's willing to call his own shots. It's kind of, oh, what do you guys think? And then they'll tell him, and he'll cave. Remember last year, I believe it was the Jets game, where it was fourth and one, and Brian Callahan sends the punt team out, and you hear the crowd boo. He calls timeout, and they go for it, and they don't get it. That's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Brian Callahan caves into peer pressure. And I don't want to see that in an NFL head coach. As an NFL head coach, you're supposed to be a leader. You're supposed to be the guy calling the shots, especially if you're following the trend of you're calling your own plays. You got to be confident in what you're calling and not this, I don't know, Nick Holtz, what do you think? And what does Nick Holtz do? What does he provide to this team? I don't know Nick Holtz, and I don't know what his game day job entails, but it's not calling plays. And I can't imagine he's doing too much in the booth in between calling plays.
No, he's probably got his, you know, binoculars out there. I think this is 5 yards. Go with this play here. Go with that play here.
Maybe he's like, ask Madden, and he'll recommend a play to you. But Brian Callahan's ultimately the one hitting the X button and calling the play. Got to be more accountable if you're going to do that. And don't get stuck in your ways.
Yeah, there can't be a play call by committee. You just can't do that.
Nope.
I'm with you on that. It you doesn't just can't work. Do it. No, it doesn't.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can give us a call or text us with your thoughts on this. What does Brian Callahan need to do to get out of his own way and change the game plan? I want to continue this conversation coming up next. Plus, do players in the Titans locker room trust Brian Callahan? And how long can we say, or how long until we can say Brian Callahan has truly lost the room? That's coming up next here on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier here with you on a Saturday morning here on 102.5 The Game.
Yeah, some of the veteran guys were talking about the self-inflicted wounds and penalties that were issued last year, you know, repeating themselves in week one. How do you view your role in making sure those things don't continue?
Getting in and out of the huddle faster, snapping the ball on time. And then there's also a tempo that you have to play with offensively. We didn't establish that on Sunday, and so that's something that we're looking to establish this week.
Crazy what accountability sounds like, huh? That's Cam Ward talking about the sins that Brian Callahan preaches, self-inflicted negatives. And accountability is not hard if you have it. Weekend Huddle sponsored by LPL Financial and Patrick Conger. Financial planning for tomorrow so that you can enjoy today. Let me also tell you to tune into Sports Talk 830, the Game Nashville app, or thegamenashville.com for NASCAR coverage of the Bass Pro Shops night race tonight at 6:30 p.m. Coverage presented by Michael Waltrip Signature Floor, located inside of Hank Williams Jr. Boogie Bar in downtown Nashville. Welcome back in Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier with you today. Hopefully Parker Kelly will join us here shortly. Talking about Brian Callahan and the level of accountability he needs to have with his team and in his play calling. Let's get to some of your texts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Gunner on our text line says, maybe Callahan meant to say they thought the foot went out of bounds first. In that sense, technically both do have to be in at the same time. The elbow can just land in first by itself as long as the foot doesn't hit out first. I agree with you, Gunner. I think that's maybe what he meant to say, and words are hard. I stumble over my words all the time on these airwaves. But when you come out the way that you came out, if you're Brian Callahan, and he was very, very very positive that he was right, and maybe that's initial reaction after they just lost. But he goes, nope, one elbow does not equal 2 feet. I'm very positive about that. That wasn't his exact words, but that's kind of what I got from it. If you are that confident in your answer, then don't come out the next day and give two different explanations as to why you were wrong. Obviously, he came out and said, well, I miss, or oh, what did he say first, Frazier? It was, they told me upstairs and I misinterpreted the rule.
Yeah.
And then later on, he's like, I misspoke. So that's two different answers and two different explanations. Which one is it? You got to be accountable. You got to tell us what the truth is and what's going through your mind. Don't try and tiptoe your way out of this, because that's not accountable. That's not what an NFL head coach should do. And if you have a problem with that, then maybe you shouldn't be an NFL head coach.
I'll give him a little grace at the end, because he did right the wrong. He did say he apologized for misinterpreting the rule and all that on Monday. I get all that. But overall, you just need to nip it in the bud the first day, like right after the game. And I think he just handled it improperly. Do I think Callahan knows the rules? Yes. I hope so.
I think he's very smart.
Yeah, I think he's an intelligent guy. It's just he has to start showing that a little bit more. And I was watching the OTP, or was it the... It might have been the Brian Callahan show with Taylor Zarzer on YouTube.
Yeah.
And they were breaking down like defensive coverages. And I saw Callahan really breaking down every nitty-gritty piece to the Denver offense and how the Titans defense reacted to it. And it was almost, I don't want to say disingenuous, but it was almost like he was trying too hard at explaining it.
I think that's my main problem with him.
Yeah.
He tries too hard. And look, I understand the cycle of NFL coaches that has been explained here before, and you fire the mean guy coach and then hire the nice guy, but don't be disingenuous. Be yourself and be accountable and be what they hired you to be. That's just kind of where I stand. Let's go to our phone lines. Adam in Portland, our good friend, is on the phone line. 615-737-1025, of course, is our phone number. Adam, good morning. Go ahead. Adam. All right, we'll try and get Adam in Portland back if he wants to call back in. But I want to get into this. How long until we can say Brian Callahan has lost the locker room? Oh, Adam in Portland is back. Adam, good morning. Sorry we lost you there. Maybe not. Maybe something's up with our phone. Well, I'll get into this while Nick Frazier figures that out. Brian Callahan, how long until we can say he has truly lost the Titans locker room? Do players trust Brian Callahan? Robbie has alluded to this before, and I've been listening to him throughout the week kind of say this. You can't convince me that there aren't players in that Titans locker room that don't have some malice towards Brian Callahan for what he is doing for the with the play calling. I am willing to bet you that some of these guys are saying, yo, did you hear what coach said about the catch rule? Did you hear what coach explained there? You can't convince me that there aren't players in that locker room that don't have some sort of, I don't want to say malice towards Brian Callahan, but some kind of hesitance toward him. All right, let's try time number three. Adam in Portland on our phone line. Adam, please tell me you're there.
Yeah, I got you this time, buddy.
Let's go. So, okay.
Here's my problem, dude, and I'm the biggest supporter of you guys, right? Like, I want you guys to do well. I'm also going to tell you when you're sucking and when you're sitting here saying he's a smart guy, like, I've got to tell you that sucks. Like, tell me how you think he's smart. And I'm not talking about on a personal level. None of us know him on a personal level. I don't care about him on a personal level. I just care about him as my coach, because that's where I spend all my money and my time and my energy, right? As far as it concerns Brian Callahan. And I've seen nothing about him that tells me he's a smart coach, dude. Like, I get it. Every one of these coaches should be able to dissect film. My problem is that my quarterback took six sacks the other day, dude. And the other guy that he coached, Joe Burrow, I know we sacked him 8 times. And so he's proven that he cannot keep these quarterbacks safe. And, like, he can't scheme up something to make them successful. So the only thing I'm seeing with him, and winning fixes all this, right? If he scores 40 points tomorrow, I'll stop calling and hating on him. But right now I see Cam have an opportunity to do well, but our quarterbacks historically can't score more than 30 points. Definitely can't score more than 30 if you only scored 13 last week. So I don't winning fixes it. I don't see him doing much, man. I feel like Cam's going to have to do it on his own. He's going to have to overcome Brian Callahan, which I've never felt before in my head coaches. Like, I've never felt like Steve McNair had to overcome Jeff Fisher. So that's where I'm at right now, dude. Like, I don't know. I just hear you guys say he's a smart guy, and it triggers me because I'm like, he's the dumbest coach we've had here. Like, it's a crazy thing to hear you say. So I don't know, man. Yeah, I mean, you can fight me on it a little bit if you want, but I'm just going, I don't see the intelligence that you guys are talking about.
Well, Adam, hang on. Stay there real quick. I think he's an intelligent coach because he's, you know, built his credibility up in the NFL, but obviously it can all dwindle down in a weekend or 2 weekends or whatever it may be. I just look at Callahan as one of those guys that you can kind of, I guess, he's a teachable guy. He's one of those teachable coaches. He shows his intelligence that way by teaching the game, and I think he's intelligent in that factor. When it comes to the game, and I was talking to Connor earlier in the show, I don't know if you heard or not, but like when it comes down to play calling, all these coaches have their play calling sheets. They have a certain system they go through. Like calls 1 through 5 are going to be on the first drive, and if he doesn't improvise on call number 5, it should be call number 7 or 8 on the call sheet. I think that's what he needs to start doing. And I think that's something he needs to start, you know, figuring out as time progresses. But as for right now, I think he's still trying to get the feeling out process. And unfortunately, I know it's year 2, but it's under a quarterback that he chose in the draft. So I feel like I don't want to give him too much grace, but I'm kind of with you too. Like it's got to click at some point.
Well, and then you sit here and look and you go, okay, so I'm just going back. And I should forget some of these things. But, like, after we won against Snoop Huntley last year, Callahan looked like he wanted to start crying. Like, the quarterback was the worst quarterback in the league last year. Like, we should have beat them by 50. We snuck past a Miami team that was, like, so wounded. And it feels so disingenuous to me, man. Like, I see him as one of those dudes that's like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing today. When he come out and yelled at the team, it's because other people were saying, I think you should be, like, these guys are flat. Like, I feel like he's, like, a very rehearsed person, you know, and I don't know. I don't trust him. Win some games, I'll shut up about you, dude. But other than that, I'm going to dissect everything you do, and so that's kind of where I'm at with it.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Adam. Some great points raised there by our good friend Adam in Portland. When I say Brian Callahan is a smart guy, I don't mean that I think he is a brilliant, just Sean McVay level play caller.
Masterclass,
for lack of a better term. Hi, Parker. Welcome.
There's that word again, masterclass. Generational.
Yeah.
Cam Ward is generational.
Coach Jay Pierce likes it. I will continue to use it. But when I say Brian Callahan is intelligent, I think he's a smart guy, like book smart. I think he's smart humility-wise. When he's out there on the field calling plays, he looks like an antelope in the headlights. Terrified.
Antelope's delicious, by the way.
Is it?
Yes.
I think Terry on our text line points it out the best. The Titans are trying to build a team in the middle of training a coach. I think...
Can't do both.
And I look, I know you're trying to develop a young quarterback and a young play caller at the same time. Obviously, that's backfiring on you. So, as Gunner points out, three straight dropbacks from the 7 at the end of the first half to give Denver their best field position and a touchdown, and all the momentum is definitely lack of brains.
That also reminds me, back to my point about not having a bell cow running back, that's your problem. You need a running back where you can hand him the ball and he can lean forward and get you 2 to 3 yards.
All you got to do is run the ball twice and you go to the half with the lead. But I'm tired of talking about last week's game. They play tomorrow. They play the Los Angeles Rams tomorrow. They don't have a right tackle, first of all. They got an all-pro level. The Rams have an all-pro level edge coming at you, and his name is Jared Verse. So you better get ready for that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You can text or call us your thoughts on Brian Callahan and the Titans' chances of beating the Los Angeles Rams tomorrow here at Nissan Stadium. Kickoff is at noon. But coming up next, the takeover we've all been waiting for, as if I'm not, you know, kind of directing the show anyway. Newt's Notes returns, and I got a steamy rant today. I got something I'm fired up about. We'll get to that next here on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, and look at this, Parker Kelly joining you here right here on this Saturday morning on 102.5 The Game. If that doesn't get you fired up, I don't know what does. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you this morning. And it's time for Newt's Notes, which means I take over the show for the next 12 minutes. So, I got something I'm fired up about today. And it's not something any of us can control, but it's something that just boils my blood. Big slate of college football today, right? Got some massive games. Tennessee and Georgia. Ole Miss and Arkansas play today. That's a rivalry not a lot of people talk about. Texas A&M, Notre Dame. Florida and LSU. Vanderbilt and South Carolina. The only game that does not play at 6:30 is Tennessee and Georgia. All of those games, Kentucky and Eastern Michigan, which I'm probably the only one in studio that's going to watch that. All of those games play at 6:30 tonight. What are we doing? How am I going to watch all of these games? I want to watch all of them. But they all come on at the exact same time. I don't have enough screens to do that. I'm going to have to quad screen it and then pull up like two more on a laptop. That's ridiculous. I shouldn't have to do that. This is why I'm fired up. We got to get this under control. I understand you have fans across the nation that cheer for different teams at all times. But when you have three marquee matchups at least, and that's, you know, not that Ole Miss and Arkansas is a major matchup, but that's an SEC rivalry with SEC championship implications on some level. Then you have Texas A&M and Notre Dame. That game's on Peacock, but that is two ranked teams in the top 10, I believe, that are going to go to battle. Then you got Florida and LSU, and Florida kind of sucks, but, you know, that's a game, a night game in Death Valley. You want to see how Billy Napier and Brian Kelly stack up against each other. And then, of course, my team, Kentucky, plays Eastern Michigan at 6:30 as well. And I want to see how that goes. It's Cutter Bowley's debut. Not debut, but he's the starter this week. So why are we putting these games all on at the exact same time? Why can't some of these be played at noon? Like, why is Kentucky and Eastern Michigan being played at 6:30 at night? Just play at noon, right?
Just get all the crappy games out of the way.
Yeah.
No offense.
No, I agree. It's two teams that not a lot of people outside of those fan bases are going to watch. So why not just put it on at noon? Put it on at noon at like the SEC Network or something. Same with Ole Miss and Arkansas. That could easily be your SEC Network game at like 3:30. You can watch it at the same time as Tennessee and Georgia. Now, Tennessee and Georgia is going to get a lot of eyes because that's the national game of the week for the most part. I mean, Kirk and Chris are on the call. But like Vanderbilt and South Carolina, I want to watch that because I have a feeling that Vanderbilt is going to go in and win that game. Obviously, the other two, Texas A&M, Notre Dame, I think that's going to be a great game because that's two really good teams. And Texas A&M, I don't think they're going to win, but I think they're going to make it close. LSU and Florida, that's an SEC rivalry. That's a matchup that I want to watch because that's two SEC programs in an electric environment and two teams that don't like each other. So why in the hell are we stacking all of these on at the exact same time?
The only thing that could just make me think they're doing this is because of money, but you can't say it's because of money because all your shows, or not shows, all your games are going to be dispersed on different channels. I mean, it's all under one umbrella of ESPN.
Yeah, I mean, they're all on different channels, but at the same time, like, I realize there's network agreements and stuff, but it's just the morality of it. Like, if you're sick in the head like us, you're probably going to want to watch all of these games.
Maybe there's only one guy that can save us.
Who's that?
Scott Hansen.
This is why we need College Red Zone.
God forbid we ever get it, though, because that's too much to figure out. That would be too much on the NCAA's plate.
I mean, come on, man.
The suits in the room couldn't figure that out if they tried.
I bet our suit could figure it out.
I agree.
What's your take on this, Parker? I mean, like, you're more sick in the head than I am when it comes to college football. You'll probably be up at 9:30 tonight watching Arizona State play football.
Oh, no, I'm watching Minnesota Cal tonight at 9:30, but I'll probably have that one on in the background. But, yes, no, I hate it. I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to have the quad box going on YouTube TV. God bless YouTube TV, by the way. God bless them.
It's God's invention.
Yeah, and then I'm probably going to have my laptop pulled up, and if there's a sixth game on, I'll probably have my phone. So I hate it. I really do, because there are a bunch of good games on at 11 that I want to watch. They're at 2:30. You have Georgia, Tennessee. You have USF and Miami at 3:30. Just throw another game in that 3:30 window and have three games going on and then four at night. I'd be fine with that.
Here's where I'm thankful for MTSU football. They come on at 4, which you can hear it over on 93.3 Hits. Totally Hits with Chip Walters and Big Joe on the call. I'll be producing that one. They are the bridge, sort of, between Tennessee and Georgia and the nightcap of games. That's one you can throw on in the background, cheer on the Blue Raiders. I think they're going to win today against Nevada. Nevada is not very good. But then we get to the nightcap, and there's like five games I want to watch. And I understand it's a very loaded slate today, and there's a lot of great matchups, and such is life in college football. Last week was kind of perfect for me because, let's see, who played last week? It was Kentucky and Ole Miss. They kicked off at 3:30. So I watched that one, and then the night game was Oklahoma and Michigan. So we ended up watching that one. There were really only two games I ended up watching that day. Now, there's like seven I want to watch today. So I don't know why we're stacking five of them at the same time.
It just, like, I think Jake Lyman mentioned this. You're overstimulating your brain watching all these games.
Yeah.
I can't do it. If I had to do an Octobox plus two more on top of that, God bless you, Parker. I don't know how you do it, man.
He's sick.
I don't know how Scott Hansen does it, because when they go to the Octobox on NFL Red Zone, he's literally looking at eight different games at one time. I don't know how he does it.
Red Zone is my favorite program of all time. It is truly brilliant. Now, I don't know if you guys are like me, but my plan on NFL Sundays is, well, tomorrow I'll start with the Titans game and just put that on the big screen and then pull up Red Zone on my laptop. Then in the the afternoon window, it's all Red Zone. You're locked in. And then that gets you to Sunday Night Football. And tomorrow, who plays on Sunday Night Football?
It is the Vikings and the Falcons, I believe.
Well, I may not do Red Zone tomorrow, because the Eagles and Chiefs play tomorrow. Speaking of, let me tell you, tomorrow, catch the Eagles versus Chiefs for the NFL Game of the Week on ESPN 102.5 The Game at 3:25 p.m. NFL Game of the Week is presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and Masuro in 12 South. That's ad placement right there.
Beautiful.
That's going to be a good... I'm excited for that one. But as far as today, like, so many games I want to watch, all on at the same time. So I ask for my personal use to Charlie Baker of the NCAA, stop putting all these games on at 6:30. Spread them out. Spread the wealth. And save the Ducks.
Save the Ducks.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. You can text or call us. Any personal beef with the NCAA for putting eight different games you want to watch on at 6:30? Because I'm kind of fired up about it, and I've worked myself up about it this morning. But you know what will cool me down? Our weekend poll question, your answers to our weekend poll questions. You can still go out and vote. We have it on our Twitter. What is the best traditional college football helmet? Our options are Notre Dame, Michigan, Alabama, or other. And Frazier, it looks like you have voted for other, and I expect a long explanation of why you have chosen said helmet coming up next. We will get to your answers of our poll question coming up next here on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, and Nick Frazier with you here on this Saturday morning on 102.5 The Game.